Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coca-Cola FEMSA Third Quarter 2013 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and all participants are in a listen-only mode at the request of the company. We will open the conference up for a question-and-answer session after the presentation. During this conference call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as good faith estimates made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management's expectations and are based upon currently available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Hector Trevino, Coca-Cola FEMSA's Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Trevino.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As we continue to face a soft consumer environment, mainly in Mexico and Brazil, our operators adapt our wide portfolio of beverages to enable our company to capture different consumption locations and satisfy our consumers' demand, while capitalizing on the realities of our geographically diversified portfolio of franchise territories. Together with our refined revenue management capabilities, these portfolio initiatives allow us to achieve organic currency neutral revenue growth of 15% during the quarter. Our reported consolidated total revenues reached close to 38 billion Mexican pesos in the third quarter, including the non-comparable effect of the results from Grupo Yomp, which operations were integrated into our Mexican franchise in June of this year, and the results from the recently acquired Compañía Fluminense, which operations were integrated into our Brazilian franchise in September of this year. Our consolidated gross profit margin remained flat as a result of lower sugar prices in most of our franchise territories and the appreciation of the Mexican peso as applied to the U.S. dollar denominated input cost, which were offset by the devaluation of the currencies in our South American division. With regard to our consolidated expenses, we continue to see higher labor and freight costs, especially across our South American division. We also continue to reinforce our marketplace execution across our franchise territories and enhance our returnable packaging base to provide our consumers with a variety of affordable consumption alternatives, especially for brand Coca-Cola. During the quarter, our net income reached 3 billion Mexican pesos. A larger debt balance resulted in higher interest expenses, and a foreign exchange loss resulted from the quarterly appreciation of the Mexican peso on our dollar-denominated cash position. Now, let's discuss some of the trends we see in each of our operations. In Mexico, throughout the year, we have seen a deterioration of the consumer environment as a result of higher food cost inflation, increased personal debt, and falling remittances, among other factors. Our reported volume growth in Mexico was 4%, including a full 3 months of results from the integration of Grupo Yomp. Adjusting for this non-comparable effect, volumes were down low single digits. A good start to the quarter was offset by very tough weather conditions and disruptions in the month of September, mainly due to Hurricanes Manuel and Ingrid. Organically, the non-carbonated beverage category grew, driven by the continuous trend of value fruit and power, which is now the leading isotonic brand in 3 of our 5 operating regions in Mexico, and has achieved a 46% market share overall. Understanding the consumer environment and acting proactively, we have focused on affordability through returnable packaging. This part of our portfolio continued to yield positive results, growing 5% during the quarter and gaining 210 basis points in our mix of sparkling beverages. This increase was supported by 46% growth of our 500 milliliter returnable glass presentation, now the second largest single serve presentation in the Coca-Cola category behind our flagship 600 milliliter one-way presentation. Also, the recent introduction of our 3-liter returnable presentation for brand Coca-Cola and the 2.5-liter package for Sidral Mundet, which complemented the 13% growth of our 1.25-liter glass presentation. We will continue to strengthen and adapt our portfolio in every category and reinforce our marketplace execution to provide our consumers with an attractive alternative for every occasion. In Central America, we achieved a 2% increase in volume thanks to growth in Panama and Guatemala, which offset flattish volumes in Nicaragua and continued soft volumes in Costa Rica. This growth was driven mainly by the Jugo del Valle line of business, the success of Fuse Tea, and the positive performance of Power. Our Mexico and Central America divisions' total revenues grew 1% on an organic currency neutral basis. Lower sugar prices and the appreciation of the Mexican peso as applied to our U.S. dollar denominated raw material costs resulted in an organic gross margin expansion of 220 basis points in the division. Overall, our division's organic operating cash flow margin expanded 70 basis points during the quarter, reflecting lower revenues combined with investment to strengthen our market execution, expand our cooler coverage, and increase our returnable base. Looking to the last part of the year, our operators' consistent execution of our strategy well positioned us to capture marketplace opportunities and remain the preferred choice of our consumers. Moving on to our South American division, our operations generated 6% organic volume growth during the quarter. In Brazil, as of September, we are including the results from Compañía Fluminense. Our organic performance in Brazil improved sequentially compared with the first half of the year. For this quarter, our organic volume in Brazil declined 1%, mainly due to continued consumer weakness in an environment characterized by constrained disposable income and high food inflation. We continue to see encouraging results from our intensified strategy to connect with the consumer. Our 250 milliliter presentation at R1 grew 26% in the quarter, and our reinforced 2-liter returnable presentation increased 36%. In light of the positive short-term results, we will continue to work to increase the point-of-sale coverage of these presentations in order to navigate through a tough consumer environment with the right portfolio. As I noted earlier, as of September, we have incorporated Compañía Fluminense in our results. We are pleased to announce that our integration team has identified 40% more synergies than we initially expected. Consequently, we are raising our synergy target to $90 million on a yearly basis, up from the $40 million we announced in June. The bulk of these synergies will result from additional efficiencies in the warehousing and commercial areas, along with improved productivity of the Puerto Real plant. With regards to the SPIPA transaction, during the quarter, we received authorization from CADE, the Brazilian Antitrust Authority, and the Coca-Cola Company. We are finalizing details and expect to close this transaction as early as the end of this month, allowing us to include 2 months of these results this year. We have already completed the financing required to close the acquisition. Such financing includes a $500 million 3-year bilateral loan disbursed on August 30th, and a $1.5 billion five-year syndicated loan disbursed during October. Both loans are prepayable at any time and were financed at very attractive rates. In connection with these transactions, we have swapped most of the debt acquired into Brazilian reais to match the recently acquired assets with a locally denominated liability. We continue to make significant organic investments in Brazil that will allow us to capture consumer demand as it trends upward. Such investments include the construction of a new distribution center to better serve the northwestern area of São Paulo and the installation of a fully automated vertical warehouse in our largest production plant. In addition, we expect to open our new state-of-the-art bottling plant in the state of Minas Gerais during the second half of 2014. These organic investments, combined with our recent acquisition of two franchises in the region, are a testament to our positive long-term view for Brazil. This year, we have significantly strengthened our position in Brazil, as we have done in other countries in our geographically balanced portfolio. Our investments through tough times will better position us to capture the benefits of the market's recovery. We are confident that our operators will work consistently to seize these opportunities today and into the future. Moving on to Argentina, we achieved close to 9% volume growth in this franchise despite an unimproving consumer environment during the quarter. This increase was mainly driven by 8% growth of brand Coca-Cola, supported by the launch of Coca-Cola Life at the end of the second quarter. Our team's flawless execution of the launch of Coca-Cola Life in Argentina enabled us to gain additional share in the sparkling beverage category. As of September, we reached the highest share of market and share of value in this category in the past 19 years. Furthermore, our Bonacqua water brand continues to perform well in the market, and we are strengthening our execution in certain key channels of this category. The recent launch of Fuse Tea has proved a real success, perceived as a natural alternative to quench consumers' thirst. Fuse Tea has already gained a significant share of the flavored water category in only a matter of months. We are confident that our Argentine operators will continue to perform well through the current consumer environment, capitalizing on a wider portfolio to capture more consumers, and a relentless focus on cost discipline and efficiency optimization. Our Venezuelan operations delivered solid 16% volume growth for the quarter. This increase was mainly driven by 17% growth in brand Coca-Cola, 10% growth in flavored sparkling beverages, and 34% growth of the Del Valle Fresh, which was supported by the launch of additional flavors to complement this brand's offer. With regard to Colombia, our strategy continues to yield positive results, despite certain disruptions during the month of August and a difficult consumer and competitive environment. During the quarter, our volume increased 7%. Brand Coca-Cola grew 9%, driven mainly by the continued success of our 1.25-liter returnable glass presentation and our 250-milliliter empty-pack strategy. Del Valle Fresh, Fuse Tea, and Powerade drove 42% growth in our non-carbonated beverage portfolio. In the water category, Brisa and Manantial continue to deliver positive results, supporting 3% growth in this portfolio. At the South American division level, the local currency revenue management initiatives that we implemented in Venezuela, Brazil, and Argentina, coupled with the positive volume performance in the division during the quarter, resulted in a 27% currency-neutral revenue growth in our South America division, The devaluation of each country's currency as applied to our U.S. dollar-denominated input costs more than offset lower sweetener prices in the division and lower PET prices in Brazil, resulting in a gross margin contraction. Operating expenses in the division continue to reflect labor and freight cost pressures in Venezuela and Argentina, changes to the transportation law in Brazil, and increased marketing investment across the division. In South America, our operators have implemented the right strategy to address each market challenges effectively, to connect with our consumers more closely, and to seize the opportunities that we have identified for the future. We continue to increase our levels of productivity and efficiency to achieve the full operating potential of every franchise territory in this division. With regard to our Philippines operation, quarterly revenues were down low single digits, driven mainly by a decrease in volumes due to the two typhoons that hit the country and our initiatives to reconfigure the portfolio. The recent introduction of Mismo, our 300 milliliter one-way presentation, and the reinforcement of Cazalo, the 700 milliliter returnable glass presentation, supported 9% growth of brand Coca-Cola in the quarter. This performance was more than offset by decreasing volumes of Pop Cola and flavored sparkling beverages. In addition to the province of Pampanga in the central Luzon area, the rollout of our go-to-market approach has been implemented in 5 out of the 6 distribution centers covering the Great Manila area, with encouraging results in terms of both client and delivery partner acceptance. In the last month alone, we rolled out the new commercial model in 4 distribution centers, building on the positive momentum that our team has developed in the country. With only 1 more distribution center to go, we are working to complete the rollout in the Greater Manila area by the end of this year. During 2014, we will leverage the knowledge gained from this rollout to convert distribution centers in Visayas and Mindanao. Now, allow me to expand on our consolidated financial position. As of September 30, we had a cash balance of 23.8 billion Mexican pesos, and our total debt was 44.6 billion Mexican pesos. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio was 0.74 times, and our EBITDA to net interest ratio was 15.3 times. Highlighting the strength of our balance sheet, our strong prospect for cash flow generation, and our expected path to deleveraging our capital structure. With respect to the government proposal to impose an excise tax on sugary beverages in Mexico, we can share with you that the lower chamber has approved the proposed charge of 1 peso per liter and has sent it to the Senate, where it will be voted on by October 31st. Although we are certain that this proposal will not address the issue of obesity, if approved, we will make the necessary adjustments to our operating structure and portfolio to protect the profitability of our business while maintaining our competitiveness and staying on our growth trajectory. We would like to remind our shareholders that as of November, we will pay the second installment of the dividend approved by our shareholders in the amount of 1.45 Mexican pesos per share. Looking at 2014, we see a benign commodity cost environment with sugar and PET prices remaining stable sequentially in U.S. dollar terms. For fructose, we have already locked in our required consumption for Mexico at lower prices than 2013. Additionally, we have hedged an important part of our sugar needs in Brazil and Colombia at lower prices in order to prevent volatility in our input cost. In the face of continued currency volatility and the challenges that each of our operations present, The investments we have made in every one of our markets lay a strong foundation to take advantage of the recovery that we see in the short to medium term. The strength of our operating team, the magnitude of our diverse portfolio, and the defensive profile of our geographically diversified footprint will enable us to deliver growth and value for our shareholders. Thank you for your trust and support. And operator, I would like now to open the call for any questions.
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press *1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please turn your speaker function off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is *1 if you have a question at this time. It appears we'll take our first question from Lauren Torres with HSBC.
Good morning, everyone. Hector, if you could talk about the volume weakness that we continue to see in Mexico. I guess it was about down 1%. You put it through a lot of initiatives to kind of maintain your volumes, but I was just curious in light of what you're seeing at the consumer level, you know, if there's the ability to kind of turn this positive in the near term or we should continue to expect declines. And then if I could take this a little bit further, you know, in light of the potential tax increase on sugared beverages, you've talked about things that you could do. I don't know if you can or would shed some light on those initiatives now. I mean, is this more price-led in order to kind of keep things going to offset the tax increase, or you feel there's other initiatives to can, you know, keep things going for you looking into next year? Thanks.
Good morning, Lauren. I think that it's very important to highlight that in Mexico in this quarter, volume trends were very positive during July. If I remember correctly, the number was somewhere around 4% volume growth. August, we have a positive trend between 1.5-2% volume growth, which was very encouraging for the quarter. But then September, with these two hurricanes that hit very strongly in the Acapulco area and obviously affect the central part of the country, and in the Gulf area with India and Manuel, affecting Veracruz and the Tampico area, the placement area. Volumes in Mexico for the month of September were very disastrous, were down 11% versus last year. That has to do a lot with the disappearance, let me use that word, for a few weeks of many of our clients that were flooded. A lot of these mom and pops, the regulation I have is around 6,000 mom and pops were closed for a couple of weeks. And then some of them probably will not reopen because they do not necessarily have the resources to and the working capital to start building the small store again. No? We did not suffer in our production plants or distribution centers. But on top of the problems that we had with our clients, the small mom and pops, there were a lot of disruptions in the highways. And you probably heard in the news that the communication from Mexico City to Acapulco was closed for 2 or 3 weeks. No? So I like to think, and maybe it's a little bit optimistic here, Lauren, but I think that September really brought down what it looked as a very good quarter at the beginning of the two first months. We continue to see some softness in the consumer, and you see that in other consumer companies and the results that are announced by Walmart and some of the stores. But we think that with the strategies that our operators have in focusing a lot on the turnover presentations, that are, as you know, it's a more affordable presentation for the consumer, that we were in the right direction, no? on this quarter. I hope to see recovery in the fourth quarter. Normally, when it stops raining, then you get a good period of recovering some of the inventories. And I hope that my expectation is that some of these strategies, as I mentioned during this introductory remarks, the return on presentations can increase importance in the mix by 210 basis points. it's close to 36% now of our mix. All of that bodes very well for a consumer that has, that is a little more invested and less disposable income. Now, the new tax that was passed by the lower house basically calls for a 1 peso per liter on sugary drinks. As we speak, they are discussing that in the Senate. The time here in Congress is that before October 31st, it should be decided. Assuming that this tax stays at 1 peso per liter, obviously we need to focus a lot on the profitability of the business. That means, basically implies that we will pass this tax to the consumer. In general, we think that the industry will do the same thing because it's a heavy tax. It hurts different to different players because we have different price points. Even within Coca-Cola FEMSA, we've done our presentations that have a lower price per liter will be hit a little bit harder by this tax, but obviously some of the lower price brands percentage-wise will be affected in a larger proportion. We think that our operators are already looking at some of the strategies that will follow for next year, and that includes doing a full reconfiguration of our portfolio, even doing some downsizing. We need to look for the magic price points. So in other words, if we sell a 600 milliliter one-way presentation at 850, and we need to increase 60 cents, we are going to increase probably 1 peso, because then you have to get to the price point that is the convenient magic price for the consumer. Otherwise, you leave fractions there in the marketplace, fractional prices, then the retail system will stay with that extra margin, and you will not get the benefit of leaving those few cents in the trade. So in general, I'll say that if we were to have this tax of 1 peso per liter, assuming that passes, we'll be probably increasing prices somewhere around 12 to 15% in average. Obviously, as I said, return on presentation with larger percentages, some other presentations with lower percentages. Probably diet things would not be moving prices because that will not have a tax on that. We are still debating internally if we should also increase prices or not there. And that will have, obviously, consequences in the volume and consequences on investment. We probably have to reduce the workforce importantly. Our calculation is that we will have probably around 3 or 4%, probably close to 5% of our routes that we can stop. So we will not be buying any trucks next year. Probably we will reduce a lot of our purchase of coolers. And certainly there will be a reduction in headcount because we will have extra capacity. If we increase prices on those levels, let's say 12 to 15%, you could see reduction in volume, in the low end probably 5%, the high end probably 7%. And that obviously creates a lot of extra capacity, and our duty as managers of these companies to continue looking for the profitability of this business and try to maintain that profitability. I think that's basically, I think that is a good example of what we could be expecting if that passes next year.
Yeah. That's really helpful, Hector. And I guess just one last comment or question to what you just mentioned. If we do see that 12 to 15% price increase, the proportionate volume decline based on that price increase, is it something that we're going to see mid-single-digit volume declines, or you have initiatives to offset that so that wouldn't be reflected through on the volume?
No. When I say that that somewhere around 5 to 7% volume decline. That includes some initiatives of reconfiguring the portfolio and looking for market prices. It's important that we maintain the 5 peso price point, and that probably will imply reducing the size of, our, of some of the presentations. That will imply moving to returnable, to different returnable sizes. So we'll see a lot of activity in the configuration of the, of our portfolio, and also how we go to the marketplace. Huh?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. This is actually Armando Perez on behalf of Antonio. I have only two questions, if I may. First one, can you comment on your beer performance in Brazil? Heineken has just reported a high single-digit decline in volumes in the quarter, and Carlos Salazar mentioned in the last conference call he joined that you might seek to fine-tune some aspects of the relationship with Heineken in Brazil. So we were wondering if there was any relationship in there, especially with the acquisition of Fluminense. And the second question will be, could you give us more color on your performance on the different channels? How have food retailers performed versus mom and pops? And that's it. Thanks.
Good morning, Armando. We have not done any activity with Heineken yet. I think that, in general, if I can comment on Carlos Salazar's comment last time, I think that what he was referring is, if we already represent 40% of the Coca-Cola system in Brazil, and all of the Heineken products go through the Coca-Cola system in Brazil, I think that, given the size, what he was saying is that we have the size to start probably negotiating better commercial terms with Heineken. We have not done anything in that respect so far. It was just more an anticipation of something that can be done in the future if and when it makes sense. In Brazil, I think that if you look at sparkling beverages and the consumer in Brazil, we have very tough environment. I mean, every single consumer company that I have reviewed is having some problems in Brazil. All the other bottlers in the Coca-Cola system are also suffering. The positive news is that I think that we are getting the third quarter on a sequential basis shows some better trend in the volumes. If I remember correctly, for the first semester, in sparkling beverages, we were probably down close to 10% versus last year. And this quarter, we are seeing more like a low single digit number is still down. So we are improving. Have to do a lot with the initiatives that we have done of, again, market prices. We have started to increase the presentations at 1, 2, and 3 reais in single-serve presentations that are growing very importantly. Obviously, those presentations are having some cannibalization effect on other presentations. The 2-liter returnable presentation is also growing importantly. But, for example, 2 liters one way that go to a different channel is suffering. And I think that from the point of view of the consumer, we are still seeing some weakness in Brazil. But it looks like the trends, at least for our industry, are starting to turn around a little bit and improve sequentially. Okay?
Very useful, thanks. And regarding Mexico, the performance per channel, have you seen a significant difference in there? Because we have heard from food retailers that the low-income segment has performed poorly, so we wanted just to check. Thanks.
Yes, in Mexico, the trend we are seeing is that the consumer is going more for the day-to-day purchase of what they need, the pump units, and they are going a little bit more to the traditional trade. The only problem with that trend is that September, we see a lot of damage to the more mom-and-pops because they were closed. Well, as I mentioned, for a couple of weeks because of these storms. But in general, the trend is the consumer going more to the traditional trade, to the mom and pops, and less to the modern trade. Our reading from this is that the consumer is going more on a daily basis to get the staples they need for the daily needs as opposed to going on a weekly basis to the supermarket.
Thanks a lot. Very useful.
Our next question comes from Lori Sarah with MS.
Thank you, and good afternoon, good morning. I wanted to ask a question on Brazil. Can you confirm that you said that you were increasing the synergies from Fluminense from $14 million to $19 million? I just want to make sure I got the number right. And I wanted to get your perspective on how you're thinking about 2014 in Brazil. I mean, you started to talk a little bit about the raw material environment being benign for next year, and obviously you'll work on getting the synergies from the deals. But what's your level of confidence that you can deliver important margin expansion in Brazil next year? Because this year's been a really tough year in Brazil, and when you look at the factors that have plagued the year this year, you know, I guess some of them remain for next year, but some of them go away. So, you know, how does that balance out, and what's your level of optimism about margin recovery next year in Brazil, please?
Good morning, Lori. Yes, first of all, the number that we are confirming is $19 million of synergies, 1-9. As opposed to the 14 that we announced when we do the preliminary due diligence analysis there. It has to do with the warehouses and some of the commercial practices and also in the production plant we were finding some additional synergy. So we are adding that this $5 million in synergies in the Fluminense acquisition. The question regarding expanding margins in Brazil is a little tough to answer. Let me tell you why. I feel very confident that from a raw material point of view and from the production capacity and the efficiencies that we are achieving, all of that is improving, and that will help us in the gross margin. The issue that is affecting a little bit the profitability at the gross margin level also, is that as the consumer is switching to other presentations, and obviously you can imagine that serving 250 milliliters at R1, which is growing very fast, that presentation has a lower margin for us. I think that those are some of the temporary sacrifices that we need to have to reconnect with the consumer and then start again building and improving prices or changing the portfolio, for example. That specific case, we are already envisioning and moving in the direction of moving from 250 to 200 milliliters. We will maintain the R1 per transaction, but improving the profitability of that. So if you look at Brazil right now, what is happening is we are having an important success in reconnecting with the consumer, especially with those 1, 2, and 3 reais presentations that for R1, and in the 2-liter returnable presentations. All of those presentations have lower margins than what we have a year ago, especially to Little One Way. So little by little, we will start trying to gain a little bit more margin with these presentations, with the strategies I described of changing the size or even increasing the price, trying to maintain this market prices. Obviously, 1, 2, 3 will stay. We will not change 1, 2, and 3 reais. In that changes more, changing the portfolio. But in the returnable 2 liters, we have some room for improve for managing prices. And I feel very confident that all the other indicators of productivity, like cases produced by the number of people, the salary that we're paying as a percentage of revenues, et cetera, in the total of the company, waste in the production plants. All the indicators with respect to productivity are improving, and that will bode very well to improve the margins next year. But a lot of the difficult part that I wanted to comment with you is the difficulty of predicting what the consumer is going to be buying in terms of package, presentation, and consumption occasion.
Great, that's really helpful. And then just jumping back to Mexico for a quick second, can you give us a little color on what drove the expenses in Mexico? Because you had a very nice improvement in the gross margin, but it seems like all of that was given back on the operating margin, on the operating expense line. And you talked in the release about more investment in returnables, but could you give us a better sense of kind of why the OPEX is outpacing revenue, not just for kind of this quarter, but for the year to date, please?
Yes, I think that there are two impacts that are very important in that you're describing. One is that we do not have the top line growth that we were anticipating. So part of the reason is that we have an organization that was prepared. And when I say organization, I mean the street guys that are selling, the salespeople that are in the streets working every day. And as the top line was not there, we are taking away some of the golden cases that have the higher margin. And the other element is the marketing expenses. It's not so much advertisement and things like that. It has to do a lot with the returnable presentation introductions. As we are increasing the size of that, it's again, it's a little sacrifice that you do that because you're increasing in the depreciation of the returnable bottles is affecting this sales expense. But within that, as we are connecting with better with the consumer with those returnable presentations and the affordability of things, it will help in the medium to long term. Those are the two main issues that are affecting affecting why, even though we have a nice margin expansion, is not translated. I mean, we're expanding our margin, but not in the same proportion that we have our gross margin expansion.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Fernando Feria with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first one, I'd just like to understand this beep up in your effective tax rate to 34%. You mentioned the inflationary adjustment in Venezuela. Just wanted to understand if we can expect the same level of tax rates going forward, or was that a one-off and we're expected to decline to normalized levels in the next quarters?
Well, good morning, Fernando. This quarter, we were affected by this issue with the inflation in Venezuela, that because inflation was hitting close to 50%, and that's more of a permanent thing. But it was during this quarter, we also have the effect that we lost a case that was in courts with respect to some past taxes. I believe it was from 2010. That we have to pay including some penalties, and that amount is non-tax deductible and all of that. So this effect in Colombia also helped move the effective tax rate to 34.7%. What I'm expecting and what you should look in the directions is somewhere around 32 to 32.5% as effective tax rate for the full year is what we should be expecting. Okay,
perfect. Thank you. And then I had a question on Mexico as well. Have you started hedging your fructose needs for next year, and what's the outlook you see for raw materials into 2014?
Yes, Fernando. We basically have already locked in the fructose for next year. If I remember correctly, it's 100% of our needs. It's not a hedge. It's basically an agreement with the suppliers where we already agree on a price and amounts that are going to be delivered on a monthly basis. Those agreements call for lower prices than what we have during 2013. And we have done some also hedging of a portion of what we call dollar-denominated raw materials so that we have just a fraction. I don't remember the percentage. But we have already moved in locking in the FX for some of our raw material needs that are dollar denominated. So that's why I feel confident that the raw material environment for us for next year is going to be good in that sense. But we already have some prices, what we can do. For example, sugar in Mexico we cannot catch, for example. That's totally out, and we'll need to negotiate on a quarter-by-quarter basis with the sugar mills. But what we can do, with what we can advance, we have already done that in for Mexico, Colombia, and Brazil.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Carla Miranda with ZBM.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Hector, I have two questions. First of all, in Mexico, it seems that, well, today it was published that the Senate is discussing to maintain the IVA in the border area of Mexico at 11%, and in order to compensate for that loss in taxes, that it would be discussing to increase the proposed tax in beverages to 2 pesos per liter instead of the 1 peso per liter that the lower house approved. Do you have you measured the impact of this mention to 2 pesos per tax liter? And second of all, I was wondering if you can give us some idea of how the capex should behave in Mexico in case that the tax is approved. Thank you.
Good morning, Donald. The first part of the question, we have not measured any impact. We have to wait until a final decision is taken in Senate. There are a lot of rumors and going on, and it's difficult just to be planning on all of those rumors. We have not done any exercise yet of how to adapt our business in case something, as you described, happens. With respect to your second question, if we capex for Mexico, for certainly will be reduced substantially. I already mentioned that, assuming that the tax goes by as it was written in the lower house of 1 peso per liter, we will not be buying any trucks next year. That's a big amount. And we will have around 7 production lines that will be totally idle. So we will not need to do investments for 2 or 3 or 4 more years in production capacity. And we need to to also measure the impact of our cooler investment and returnable bottles that are the other important elements here in the CapEx, in our CapEx. The big lines always in the CapEx have to do with returnable bottles and cases, coolers, trucks, and whatever you need for production capacity. None of them will have idle capacity and will substantially reduce our investment. We'll continue to do, obviously, some replacement of the equipment that is totally outdated or that is broken down or whatever. So we have some CapEx, it's not zero, but we substantially reduce our CapEx number for Mexico.
Great. Thank you very much, Hector. That was very helpful. And if I may have another question regarding Colombia, it seems that the strategy that you've been implementing for the full year is already, it has been paying off in terms of volumes. But I don't know if you could give us more color regarding how's the profitability line working over there. Thank you.
Yes, Colombia, we are basically in line with our plan. Remember that for a number of quarters, I have mentioned that for 2013, we will suffer in Colombia because we were reducing prices in order for us to capture some volume. I think that the volume trends are very, very good in Colombia. Brand Coca-Cola is growing importantly. We are gaining market share. We are suffering a little bit on the profitability side because the competitors are also reacting to that, and the competition is getting a little bit tougher. But I think that we are very well within our plan of starting now to improve the price points, one that we have reconnected again with the consumer, and we'll expect the profitability to improve. But if you remember correctly, probably a year ago or in the last conference call of 2012, I was mentioning that we have this plan for Colombia that will call for lower profitability with the expectation of increasing volumes importantly. I think that we are pretty much in line with that plan.
Great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Alan Alanis with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my call, my question. The first question that I have, Hector, has regarding the high fructose in sugar. Could you remind us how's your mix right now between fructose and sugar in the context of high fructose or corn prices having come down more than 44% down year over year, while sugar is only down high single digits? I mean, how much can you shift and you plan to shift towards more high fructose on the light of that situation? That would be my first question, and I have a follow-up that it's a different question. Okay.
Yes, good morning, Alan. Respect to this first question, we are basically at the maximum capacity that we have to handle fructose, and we are more or less 60% fructose, 40% sugar in our mix. As we speak, because precisely what you say, prices being very good in the fructose, or with larger declines than in the sugar cane. It's easier for us to move to a larger percentage of usage of sugar, but using more fructose, I think that we are basically at the top. We will not be able to grow significantly from those levels.
Got it. Okay. And the second question has to do, I mean, you talked about Fuze and Valle Fresh in Mexico as one of the other emerging categories that continue to perform very well. Could you give us some comments on other categories, specifically the dairy one, Santa Clara, and your coffee initiatives? How are those doing? I mean, another from a much smaller base, but you're already referring to quite positive results, I think, in dairy in Panama. So I guess we can frame that question as, what are the lessons learned in Panama that you are rolling out, that you could be rolling out in Mexico?
I think that in the case of Santa Clara in Mexico, the dairy company, we are working according to our plan. I think that we have positive results in general. We have not fully developed the traditional trade, which is really the missing link that will really explode volumes for Santa Clara. Obviously, we need to work in the capacity and all of that. We are working in adjusting all of our learnings and everything to work on the modern trade, which is where Santa Clara is present. We are working on everything in innovation with new products, etc. But to catapult really the growth in dairies, we need to be able to get to the traditional trade approach, and that we are still working on that. Other categories that are growing importantly, which I'd like to highlight, is that in the case of power, we are continuing to increase market share importantly, and as I mentioned in the speech, in some of the regions that we serve, we already have more than 50% market share, which is, I think, a tremendous job by our operators, given the strength of our competitors' brand preference that we had in the past. So I think that we have done a tremendous job there. And as you said, fuels and biofuels are continue to grow. The non-carbonated drinks continue to do the role of having an alternative to our sparkling beverages and growing at a higher pace as we have seen for many quarters. Huh?
Got it. Congratulations on that. And if I may, last question regarding your dividend policy. I mean, you're going to go to, I think, 1.6 times net debt to EBITDA next year after we start seeing the debt acquired for SPIPA. Is that increasing leverage changes at all or influences at all the way we should be expecting dividend sector? And that'll be it.
Yes, we need to look at the. Our first take, Alan, is to fully understand the impact of this tax, assuming
okay.
That this tax passes. And obviously, tax also calls for a tax on dividends that we need to understand if it's something that we are going to retain and it's a tax that is paid by the individual that receives the tax, or if it's a tax on the company. Those also will influence how our dividend policy is going to maintain. Our first take so far is we think that the debt that we have taken is nothing to worry. It should not influence our dividend policy. But certainly the performance of Mexico, depending on how we can work around this new tax in case is passed, and this new tax on dividends, we might be adjusting our dividend policy. Our first intention is just to maintain a dividend level similar to what we have on this year, 2013.
Got it, very clear. Thank you so much, Hector.
Our next question comes from Luca Zapik. This year with Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Just a couple of follow-up questions on Brazil, and I was wondering, as we look in 2014, related to some of the previous questions, and you know your capability to return to an upwards move in margins, how should we consider the impact from the World Cup? More in a sense of, you know, supposedly it's going to benefit the sector, it's going to benefit most consumer companies, but in your case, there should be a convergence of investments from Coca-Cola itself. So just wondering if we can make a relation with, you know, similar instances in the past when, you know, the local operators have benefited from, you know, the additional investment visibility. This is a global platform for Coca-Cola. One would expect that they would also invest a lot around the event. So just wondering if that is going to be a factor. And also, related again on Brazil, you've been commenting for some time on the pressure on the operating costs from transport, from labor costs. As you gain more scale, as you move forward with the acquisitions, what are the initiatives that you could do or that you may have already starting to put in place to contain some of that inflation? How should we think about that going forward, given that it has been a factor for some time now?
Good morning, Luca. Normally, when you have a World Cup, soccer event as important as the World Cup, normally what happens is that the marketing expenditures go a little bit because the Coca-Cola company and the bottlers today would normally decide to do a lot of much more activation of our brands around those events. I think that locally in Brazil, for the companies that are in Brazil, you will see some investments in trying to capture high traffic areas with vending equipment and banners and promotional activity and all of that. So normally you see an important pickup in volume, but also some additional expenses related to marketing, no? which normally tend to be positive at the end of the day for the local bottler. With respect to labor and freight costs in Brazil, we have a lot of regulation with respect to especially to freight or the so-called ley de motorista that is impacting especially São Paulo because obviously the larger cities. As we have moved to Flume and the future to Spaipa, we will not suffer as much as in São Paulo with this transportation law. But normally what is happening is that the government is trying to have a more transparency in the relationship with all of these transportation companies that usually were very informal in terms of the taxes and all of that. The cost for these third-party providers, transportation providers, were increasing very importantly because for them, just to accommodate this new regulation is more expensive for them. So what we are seeing is that, and other companies are doing the same, that we are starting to do more and more our own freight services in a way with internal with our own employees and our trucks. That obviously calls for some investments, but that's much better to have it like that than to suffer the price increases that will imply accepting the new tariffs from the third party suppliers of these services. So that's basically what is happening, not only with us, but other consumer companies also. It's the, let me use the word, internalization of the freight services and doing yourself your own freight services. No?
So would you expect these pressures to, you know, gradually moderate? How should we think about that as you know, we look at 2014 for this type of costs?
Yes, certainly. I mean, we are internalizing some of these services. We are doing some CapEx with respect to that and increasing a little bit our workforce. But you will see a more normalized trend in 2014.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our final question comes from Luis Miranda with Santander.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Most of them have been answered. Just to follow up, Hector, in terms of the competitive environment in Mexico, have you seen any change in regard to, I understood that there were basically the key competitors focusing on some key accounts and high-image or high-profile accounts. And has that been, has that been the case in the quarter, or have you started to see some change that flows to the traditional channel? Thanks.
Good morning, Luis. I think that in general, I'm seeing that the main competitor continues to be aggressive with some of these key areas or high profile clients, as you call it, like the Feria Chapultepec and some stadiums and auditoriums. I think that in general, you see a lot of aggressiveness in that sense. We have regained some of these points without paying a lot or without paying extra resources. But in some cases, when we see a client that is being offered what we believe an irrational proposal, then we just walk away from that and just focus our marketing resources in other areas. No? But we see our main competitor is quite aggressive on that front, in especially in Mexico City.
Perfect. Thank you. And if I may have a follow-up here, you mentioned the steep decline in September for the reasons that we know, but during October, have you seen a material improvement, or the sequential recovery has been very slow with the information you have so far?
Yes, October has a positive trend, low single digit numbers for Mexico. And say that in general, and expecting positive results in Mexico, Central America. In the case of South America, we are seeing very good positive trend in Argentina and Venezuela. Colombia is also with the Plan Colombia with very good volume trends. We are continue to see some softness in Brazil, in spite of all these efforts of the market prices and all of that. Brazil, so far in October, is struggling a little bit.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
It appears we have no further questions in the queue at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Trevino for any additional closing remarks.
Thank you for your interest in Coca-Cola FEMSA, and as always, myself, Jose, and his team are available to answer any remaining questions. Thank you so much.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.